Hello and welcome to today's Heartlift with Janelle. I am Janelle and I'm so happy to have you back here with me for part two of my conversation with Angela Carell, author of Restored in Tuscany. Today's episode is brought to you in full by Heartlift International, a 501(c) dedicated completely to making home and family the safest, most secure place on earth. If you're looking for a place to make a tax-deductible donation right here before tax day, you're in the right place. Your support would mean the world to me. It would enable me to do what God has called me to do here on this podcast and in books and resources and videos and all of the things. To learn more about Heartlift International and to make your donation, no donation is too small, just visit JanelleRiordan.com/Heartlift-International. I thank you in advance, truly, for supporting and believing and allowing this podcast to be ad-free, which perhaps is a beautiful byproduct of you becoming a member of the Circle of Trust. In part two of my conversation with Angela, we talk about many different things, but there's a golden thread that's woven throughout our conversation, and it has to do with the beautiful theme of restoration. In Angela's life, that meant restoring a home in a small Tuscan village. We're not all going to do that, nor are all of us called to do that, and some of us don't even want to do that. But we are called to restoration. It's the gift of Lent, isn't it? That God sent his son Jesus to make his way to the cross to die for our sins. This is the message, so that we could be completely restored. So as you listen today, maybe listen between the lines, like we say here in our community. Where are you needing to be restored, or are you in the restoration process right now? What do you hear that might help you move through it with greater ease and greater peace? Let's welcome Angela back to the show.
I have to ask this. This is just what I want to get out of your beautiful, wise heart. You write, women in middle age often find themselves in a position of managing schedules and generations. I haven't heard it written that way. I have just come from managing generations. This is all new to me. This is my third grandchild in 2 years, and I'm having another one in July. So all of a sudden, I am grandma, Nona, you know.
And I'm Nona too. I love
you
that.
You are? I love it. I want to be Italian. I'm telling you, you're living my story. I'm coming. I'm visiting. You're right. Women in middle age often find themselves in a position of managing schedules and generations, along with a busy home and work on top of that. Control is important to hold it all together at times. Mm. Boy, you read my mail. Talk about your own moment. I'm asking you to please talk about your own moment. That moment. Here is the kicker. Here's the kicker. When you realized control can go too far.
Far. Yes. Well, when it really hit me, there are probably many, many, but one that I recount in the book is during the restoration of the house. Our two adult daughters, I invited them to go with me on a trip to Italy because I needed to basically work and check up on everything. Mm-hmm. And so they were coming along with me. Well, our youngest, and I inherited my children on the marriage altar. They were all teenagers, but they are my kids. And they're biological
story.
Mother. I know it is. Their biological mother graciously shares them fully with me. And she's been wonderful to share that motherhood with. But I invited them to go. And the youngest had just been accepted into a perfume school in Grasse, which is the epicenter of perfume in France. I know.
And are that's you her, like, kidding me?
Yes.
I've never known anybody.
Desire. It's the strangest thing. I mean, but it's like a Hallmark movie. There's this whole subculture, yeah, of being a perfumist. And so she got accepted. And so in my typical kind of let's kill two birds with one stone, which I think women are really good. You know, if we can, okay, if we can hit these two things at one time, or if we can figure out how to, you know, wind this up over here, make it happen. And so they were going to be there, you know, the week or so. And I thought, well, gosh, she was trying to figure out her housing, and she's the youngest, and you know how we tend to do with the youngest, we tend to try to, you know, help them a little bit more, whether they want it or not. And she was trying to figure out her housing, and I said, well, let me, I'm thinking, I'm just going to solve this problem. Y'all just run up to France while we're there, because it's only 5 hours away. Yeah, just, it's like going to, it's, you know, Chattanooga from Kentucky. Just drive up there and, figure that out, spend two nights, I'll pay for a nice hotel, y'all can enjoy that time, get to see the countryside. And and me, that actually, I love that kind of stuff. That's exciting too. I would love a new adventure,
put me on a train.
Yes, exactly. What I didn't, for the youngest child, that was wonderful, she was, it was great. But then what I did inadvertently is create a lot of stress for the older daughter, who was really just wanting to come and chill out and be in Italy for the week and not have to take care of anybody or do anything.
Get it.
And so, you know, and she graciously went along with it, but I think she was getting nervous as it got closer about the drive. And so I ended up like driving them to the rental car place. So thinking I was cutting 45 minutes off. And so they got the car. So I'm thinking, oh, it's only going to be about 4.5 hours now. That's not that bad. And it ended up, they went, I heard very little from them. They came back. When I picked them up at the rental car place, it was like the tension was so thick in the air.
I get it.
And I knew something was wrong. And anyway, that night at dinner, it just kind of exploded. And they were just at each other's, you know, and both were just, you know, stuff was coming out that probably had been suppressed for a long, long time.
I get it.
And it was a terrible.
That needed to come out, probably.
It did. And honestly, we all look back on it and realize it was a defining moment for, especially for our youngest daughter. But it was a defining moment for me as well, because I really, you know, I was asking the Lord that night in the middle of all the hard stuff, okay, where did I go wrong? And what I realized is I was trying to solve a problem that wasn't mine to solve. Because
they
were adults.
Say it again, Angela. Yeah. You need to listen, heart lifters.
Yes. Here we go. Here we go, ladies.
Oh, this is a good show, by the way.
I was trying to solve a problem. Yeah. That was not mine to solve. So we tend to do that as women, but I really did it that week. And so that was the thing I learned. I thought, you know what? These are adult women. They if they've come to me asking for help, I'm going to be more than happy to help. Awesome. But I don't need to be overstepping and creating pathways that they don't necessarily need to walk down. Mm-hmm. And what the punctuation mark on all of that was a big exclamation when a week later, the news broke that the Morandi Bridge in Genoa collapsed a week later. And that was the exact bridge they had driven over and back going to France.
Oh, my goodness.
So
what did you think? Like what how did it punctuate you?
I said, first of all, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Because if that had happened, I would have just, I don't know, it would have been, you know, that would have changed everything. You can't go there.
No.
But thank you, Lord, it didn't. But it also, it just reminded me to not get in the way of what God may be doing with other people and their children in particular.
Oh, he'll make me cry.
Yeah, you can just kind of step right in the middle of that and cut out work he's trying to do.
I've heard God say specifically the strongest whispers several times in the past decade with my mother, with other things, get out of the way.
Yes.
Get out of the way.
Oh, yes. Mm. And wow. I did it with my mom, and I did it with her too, just trying to fix and control it, you know.
Oh, it's just... yes. Okay. That is another whole episode. If you would ever want to come back and talk about getting out of the way, letting go of control. And I mean, I've just never heard anyone say control can go too far. And that makes me want to weep, because I feel like as an older woman, an elder in the body, that younger women need to hear that now. Control can go too far. You know how when someone puts words to some spiritual movement in your life that you don't know what the movement is, and all of a sudden, that's why I love reading and writing books and writing and all of that, because you have the words I couldn't find for myself. And where in my life have I been letting control go too far? And women all deal with control. We all deal with it. Some of it's passive 100%. Aggressive, some of it's in your face, depending on your personality type or all the above. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your last powerful, and then I'm going to have to let you go, which I don't want to do. You were wary, W-A-R-Y, of telling your mother, this is humongous, of telling your mother about purchasing the Tuscan home. In fact, in life, you said, not everyone will share your excitement. This is a don't cast your pearls before everyone, but this is your mama. And you're right. How can we move past others' opinions to fully live our lives? I want to close with this, because I feel like I'm there. My mother is passed for sure, but we all hear our mother in our ear for the rest of our life. Right? So how do we do this? How'd you do this? Help.
Yes. Well, when you read the book, you'll see I didn't do it well to begin with.
Oh, good to know. Thank you for being so honest. Thank your daughters for us. Thank your daughters for us. If I could, I would, for sharing, because it's hard as an adult parent. I always say this, you know, young mamas can do mama blogs and mama podcasts because their kids are young. I mean, kids might hate them, you know what I mean? But it's like now with adult children. It's hard to share the nuts and bolts and the practical, where it all implodes, like at that table for you that night. Mm-hmm. You shared just enough. Very ethical storytelling. Beautiful. Just enough for us to go, yeah, I've been there. Uh-huh. Felt like hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay. So thank you for telling us you didn't handle things well. I love that. It's very
honest. No, I definitely try to fail forward. I was I kind of was skulking around like a teenager, honestly, for a bit. And then I finally had to tell my mom, and she reacted exactly like I thought she would, and which I'll leave that for the book.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, it would have been nice if she had shared my joy. And because then, you know how we love to share. If something wonderful is happening, you want to tell somebody who gets it and who you know is going to share the joy, because it almost magnifies the joy.
Share joy is double joy. Yeah,
it is. And you celebrate it with the people. And so I knew it was going to be the opposite. It was going to be maybe a little bit of a deflating, you know, but I think I was kind of prepared, you know, and I didn't expect, I think that, you know, our expectations sometimes set us up for a wrong thing. And I really didn't expect her to respond well. And she wasn't bad, really badly, but it was just not, you
wasn't
know,
what
great,
you would want at, from a
wasn't
mom.
Wasn't what I would like. Yes. Well, wasn't, but it had been
like, what?
That
are,
way
do you have a room for me? Like, are you building a mother suite?
Exactly. But I had also, this is also, this travel tension had existed with my mother since I was a child.
Travel
so it wasn't
tension.
Something new. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She just was really happy to stay in her home and maybe take a day trip, an occasional trip to the beach, and she just didn't have that wanderlust that I was born with. And
I love it.
So I think that had always existed between us. And so I knew, you know, that it probably was going to go how it did. But I also realized that, you know, my mother birthed me, but at the same time, I have a different calling. I am a unique image bearer of God who's got to walk out my own giftedness, and I have to respect where she is and give her grace to respond badly.
And that's
just give
wise.
Her that grace.
Give grace because for someone to respond badly is very wise.
Yes. Wow. And it's really, I was giving her what I wanted her to give me. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes what we have to do, if we want someone to respond in a certain way, but we also just have to give them the grace not to. And that really is what I wanted from her. So if we're just giving grace to other people, then somehow it made it okay. I mean, I was really okay with her not responding because I didn't expect anything different. Mm-hmm. I'd already planned just to give her the grace to respond however she was going to respond. And then what I tried to do is, I think sometimes going to the heart of what it is about that. And for my mother, she felt threatened by me not being around and insecure that I wouldn't be here.
Yep.
So what I tried to do going forward was to include her in it. And when I was there, I'd try to FaceTime her and talk about her room and all these things I could do to just try to draw her in so that she didn't feel threatened by it, but that she felt a part of it in some way.
Well, you were mothering her, weren't you? I mean, that's mothering her.
Sure.
You were parenting
absolutely. Her. Oh, very much. Very much. Oh, that was that. The tables definitely turned.
Right. Actually, and I think they do as we get older. But for some of us, it's earlier. You know, I mean, I've always always parented and always mothered my mother. I did.
Yes. So,
as you were saying before, complicated relationship. But I think maybe something else that is important here to mention, we've been talking a lot about our cognitive distortions, right? So what happens in those moments is you personalization is a cognitive distortion. It's definitely hitting my heart hard because that's what I would do. I would take her rejection or her threatened or her, even her jealousy, you know, that the envy of, wow, I never got to do that. Or I wish I could do that. Or, whoa, wow, you know, what a privilege. You're just so privileged. I mean, I can hear people. I can hear that. Like, oh, you bought a house in Tuscany. You know, it's like, right. So there will be critics always, but not personalizing it. Would you say that that is true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think being sensitive to, you know, it's not something I'm wearing on my sleeve. Well, actually, I am now with this book launch.
You sure
I wasn't before, but I am now. But there was a time where I was very quiet about it because I didn't know exactly how to talk about it. I mean, you know, it's common in our area. Maybe Virginia, you can have a second home in Florida, and that's kind of okay. But who has a home in another country?
Outer Banks, or I've not been to Kentucky, North Carolina. Or I don't know where the place is in Kentucky to have a second home.
Yeah,
or
well, it's Florida.
House. Okay.
Pretty much.
yeah, but not Tuscany.
No, not Tuscany. No, that was very, very strange. And so I think I was a little maybe insecure about talking very much on the front end. But then I finally thought, you know, it's been instrumental in this change for me. And of course, I'm writing about it, so I'm just going to have to become comfortable with it and understand also that it's been a privilege, but there are also it's a blessing and a privilege that I feel fortunate to be able to steward in this moment. And it may not be forever, it's just in this moment. And so I want to steward that. The other people have different dreams, and those dreams should be pursued, and there are ways to do it. Even, you know, there are ways to go after those dreams. So
regardless of the response of others, and that's what I feel like is most important here as we close, because moving past others' opinions is really critical, more for depending on your personality type again, right? So for some it's not. For some it's not a problem at all. But for someone like myself, you know, who is a people pleaser, recovering, someone whose others' opinions have shaped my life, and I have never been able to have my own opinion. But I think it's true, Angela, to end here as well, is that it's not all Instagram. I have been very privileged just having a daughter who's traveled the world, an older daughter. But my other daughter lives in St. Louis. My other son, my son lives in Kansas. But you know, life is life. Life is life. When I went to Tuscany was my dream, I thought. But it It wasn't. I stood on the dusty road. We were in an agro-tourism place with no air conditioning and mosquitoes and no screens. And it was so hot. And we had given ourselves 6 nights and 7 days in Siena, Tuscany, because it was my dream. My husband, like, here you are. Here you are. Here's your dream.
Yes.
But prior to that, we had started in France and gone to Switzerland and then and drove the whole way. Switzerland was really like where I had my, wow.
Gorgeous.
Oh my gosh. My husband and I both wept at a restaurant in this little Swiss village that was like out of Heidi. Cows with bells and geraniums. All there was, it was like we both sat there and went, how can we leave? My husband said, I can't go back to my office. And the hotel was for sale. So it was like,
oh,
you did it. We weren't brave enough. Dang it.
Well, yet. Let me say yet.
Thank you. So on the flip side of, oh my gosh, we bought this house in Tuscany. We restored this house. No, it's life is life.
So true.
I know even in Belgium in 6 weeks, life became life. It just becomes Uruguay. I stayed in Uruguay for that long. Life just becomes life.
Yes, absolutely.
And it might sound all that, but what your goal is, I know, I hear your heart is, and it's that very first, you know, can we have the same restoration of spirit without renovating a house in a village in Tuscany? That's the goal.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes.
And it can be as grand and as glorious and as powerful anywhere in the entire world.
Absolutely.
I can sit under a tin roof in Kenya, like I did with 12 beautiful women in the rain on plastic chairs with a silly vase of flowers in the middle, and it'd be as glorious as visiting Bruges in Belgium. So,
absolutely.
What's our closing word from your heart here?
Yeah, when we talk about that, I think the Lord really does meet us where we are. If we are open to this journey, and as you said earlier, if our hands and heart are open, I think He will meet you where you are and take you on the journey you need to go on.
Yes.
And for me, with a renovation path and a love for Italy, it just happened to collide in Tuscany. That's not going to be everybody's story.
No.
So you have your own unique story that God is so excited and anxious to
waiting.
Play out with you.
And just waiting.
Yes, waiting. So I think that really is the exciting part of it, is what does that look like? And just keep your hands and heart open.
Yes, because the greater reward and benefit is the manifestation of joy.
That's right.
The manifestation of meaning, of when He goes, I have just been waiting for you to open your hands and your heart, because at the end of the day, it's going to be what we embody in that place and space, whether it's in Suffolk, Virginia, or Bruges, Belgium, or Tuscany, or wherever.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, we end up with ourselves.
Yes, exactly. And that's what happened. I mean, I take me to Tuscany.
You took you.
There I am.
And I remember walking into the place that my husband and I rented, and he goes, here it is. Here's your Tuscan. It was a blue desk. I'll try to find the picture. You can sit here and just write in your journal. Here's your dream. So precious of him. I never once sat at that desk. I never once wrote in that journal. It was so hot. And there were mosquitoes everywhere.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, but wherever, however, whatever, today we're ending with being, I want you heartlifters restored in blank. For beautiful Angela, it was Tuscany. For me, it was Bruges recently. I sat in a little beautiful medieval city with, I journaled, I wrote my heart out. Where is it for you right now? Where is it? You're going to be restored in what? But first you have to open your hands and open your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body. Because at the end of the day, you're going to sit at the table with you. Angela, oh my gosh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. What a lovely time.
Deepest part of my heart. May God use this book in a mighty way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Heartlifters, what did you hear? I'll share, and I hope that you share as well. I think what spoke to me the loudest was Angela's question, am I trying to solve a problem that is not mine to solve? Which, as in Angela's case, it showed that she was exerting control and going too far and overstepping boundaries that she didn't need to overstep, which ultimately resulted in a heart rift, a rift in relationships that needed then ultimate repair. So in what ways in my life might I be exerting control and going too far? How might I be overstepping boundaries, emotional boundaries, relational boundaries? And just how am I getting in the way? I added my thought that many times over the past few years, I have just heard that whisper, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You're in my way, Janelle. You're in my way. And it's taken me a while to really, really understand. And her greatest takeaway to me was that, you know, God can give us grace for someone to respond badly. Regardless of the response of others, we often have to move forward anyway. Her words there, give grace for someone to respond badly, reminded me of when we were talking to Dr. Bruce and Tony Hebel about pre-forgiveness. To me, that's the definition of how we are to move through our life, to have a state of grace, a atmosphere of grace in which we can receive someone responding badly without us responding badly back, if that makes sense. So regardless of the response of someone, we may have to move forward in an area. It might make someone uncomfortable. Like we said, it might make them jealous. It might make them angry. But we have to move forward in grace into that which we believe God has called us into. So I wanted to close. I was spending some quiet time today where we try to practice our beautiful silence, our stillness, and our solitude in this community. And I heard a whisper to read Psalm 56. And this is from The Voice. As I read it, I pray that you will hear your own whispers from God Himself. Show mercy to me, O God, because people are crushing me, grinding me down like dirt underfoot all day long. No matter what I do, I can't get myself out from under them. No matter what I do, I can't get myself out from under them. My enemies are crushing me, yes, all day long. O highest of high, for many come proud and raise their hands against me. When struck by fear, I let go. When struck by fear, I let go, depending securely upon you alone. In God, whose word I praise, in God I place my trust. I shall not let fear come in. I shall not let fear come in. For what can measly men do to me? All day long they warp my words. All their thoughts against me are mangled by evil. They conspire, then lurk about. They eye my every move, waiting to steal my very life. Because they are wicked through and through, drag them out. In your just anger, O God, cast them down. You have taken note of my journey through life, you, God, have taken note of my journey through life, caught each of my tears in your bottle. But God, are they not also blots on your book?
then my enemies shall turn back and scatter on the day I call out to you. This I know for certain. God is on my side. This I know for certain. God is on my side. In God, whose word I praise, and in the Eternal, whose word I praise, in God I have placed my trust. I shall not let fear come in. For what can measly men do to me? I am bound by your promise, O God. My life is my offering of thanksgiving to you. For you have saved my soul from the darkness of death, steadied my feet from stumbling, so I might continue to walk before God, embraced in the light of the living. That last phrase, so I might continue to walk before God, embraced in the light of the living, is my intention as I move into Holy Week. May it be yours as well.